The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see it and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I pray that I and all sentient beings from this life through all future lives will ever be able to hear the true teachings. Once I have heard the true Dharma, I will not harbor doubts about it or fail to trust in it. Right at the time when I encounter the true Dharma, I will let go of the whole world and embrace the Buddha's teachings. Then, together with all sentient beings on the great earth, may we fulfill the way. As we look at the cultivation of right thought, we cannot ignore the role of the three pure precepts, since right thought deals with the purposive aspect of mind, better expressed as right intention. The three pure precepts assume a major role in cultivating right thought because they directly address the purity of our intention. They help us to understand the direction of the will and provide a touchstone, a guide, which helps us to act in harmony with Buddha nature and the precepts. Cease from evil, do only good, do good for others, does not only operate on the level of livelihood or action. It begins in the way which we understand all that is going on around and within us. It begins with right understanding and expresses itself through right thought into speech, action, livelihood, and effort. Mindfulness helps us to look at how our will wields our thoughts as action. What is my intention? Is it to cease from evil, to do only good, and to do good for others? Is what I am going to do leading away from suffering, or is it perpetuating suffering? Is it going to help to further the cessation of suffering or not? Will it help other beings away from the perpetuation of suffering or not? Will it lead them toward the cessation of suffering or not? The answer to these questions ought to tell us whether our intentions are within the three pure precepts or not. And they can help us to understand more clearly the direction of thought and whether our thinking is right thought or not. Even though we are human, and even though we are fallible, we are capable of having motives that are pure. And we are capable of trusting the unborn. The more you trust it, the greater it fills your life. The more you trust it, the more human you become. The more you trust it, the less you fear. Does the action of our will obscure or reveal the truth? Does it create turbulence within us or around us? Does it create violence within us or around us? Enlightened action leaves no wake. Always remember, to the best of your ability, to look at thoughts and speech and actions from the point of view of what is my intention, and to look at intention through the three pure precepts. You will still make mistakes because we are all human, and to be human is to make mistakes. But we can do as little harm as possible if we make the effort to purify our intentions. There are three aspects of the three pure precepts which can help us to understand how to cultivate right thought. They are contemplative, reflective, and expressive. The contemplative aspect of the three pure precepts speaks directly to our inherent harmony with Buddha nature. When you read Master Dogen's Kyoju Kaimon and Reverend Master's Kyoju Kaimon commentary, those are written from the contemplative aspect of the three pure precepts. They are written from the point of view of harmony with Buddha nature, and how not to violate, disturb, interrupt, or break that harmony. The reflective aspect of the three pure precepts is the bridge between understanding and action. We reflect on the precepts when we consider our actions in the light of the three pure precepts: ceasing from evil, doing only good, doing good for others. It is not enough to simply refrain from doing that which causes suffering. We have to actively participate in, help to create, and most important of all, be willing to create that which is good. You can't just hang on to the unborn's coattails for the ride. You have to look at it face to face. And unfortunately, we can't be shy about it, because the unborn, figuratively, makes us take all of our clothes off and has us look at what we really are in great detail. This bridge between understanding and action acts as the connection between our harmony with Buddha nature and the way it is expressed in our lives. The work of purifying our intention takes place within this reflective aspect. The expressive aspect is how best to carry out the three pure precepts within the context of daily life. This is not always easy. And attempting to keep pure, to keep true to the source, to keep true to Buddha nature itself, is often difficult in the world of birth and death. One has to find wise ways of doing so. And Reverend Master's advice to the person who would truly carry this out was always, be careful how you go with the truth under your coat. Enlightened action leaves no wake, but you really need to know how to steer that boat in order to leave no wake. To carry out these three pure precepts is very much an act of faith. We do the best we can, and we take the consequences as they present themselves. This is why Buddhism is a religion for adults. Another aspect of right thought is what I'll call right merit. Merit is the dedication of meditation, of faith, and of training in the service of the unborn. Formally, in Mahayana Buddhism, we call this dedication the Bodhisattva vow. The Bodhisattva dedicates his or her training so that all beings will find the unborn. As we are able to awaken right merit within ourselves, we realize that we already possess all we need to be satisfied and content in this life. And as long as we trust the unborn, and as long as we take refuge within it, we are truly safe, because nothing can hurt us spiritually. When you know this, it becomes so much easier to share your life and training with other people. And we can offer that training the merit of that training to those around us when they are in need of it. You all know about our practice of the transfer of merit here. When someone is ill, on the brink of death, in need, having a problem of some kind, we offer the merit of our meditation and training so that that merit will help in whatever way is good. We do not try to control the direction of that merit, because that would be to attempt to play God, to put ourselves in the place of the unborn. Whenever we do a ceremony here, the offertory at the end is called in Japanese eko, which means transfer of merit. It's not the eko of my name. Mine means something else. But eko means transfer of merit, offering of merit, dedication of merit. We dedicate the merit of what we do to all beings that they may find the truth. Does that work? Well, over 2,500 years ago, an Indian man dedicated the merit of what he had discovered underneath the Bodhi tree. And here we are sitting today. Over 30 years ago, a British woman went to Japan, discovered that which was the unborn for herself, and dedicated the merit of that to all beings. And here we are today. You bet it works. Don't doubt it for a second. Right merit is also understanding that the unborn is the true source of all merit. We are not the unborn, and there is nothing in us that is not of the unborn. It is very, very important to know this when you are working with and especially trying to help others. We cannot take away their karma, and we cannot remove their pain. Only they can do that. We can offer our own faith as proof that it is possible to train and convert oneself. But others must cultivate that faith for themselves. Right thought can have a revolutionary impact on our minds and hearts because its cultivation naturally leads to the cessation of turbulence, violence, and cruelty. These begin in the mind. They are within our karmic stream. To find an answer to the senseless violence we see in the world of birth and death, all we have to do is sit and look at a wall. To look within, to see how we violate our own union with the unborn and rob ourselves of our own peace of mind. To violate something is to disregard it. To disregard Buddha nature because of our own desires is to violate ourselves. To violate something is to assault it. When we act against the precepts, when we act against our own integrity, our own union with Buddha nature, we assault ourselves, and we bear the consequences of that assault. And most important of all, to violate something is to desecrate or defile something that is holy. We all possess that which is truly holy, Buddha nature. The Emperor of China asked Bodhidharma, what is holiness? Is there true holiness? Bodhidharma said, no, because there isn't something separate that we can call holy. Everything is holy, because everything expresses Buddha nature. One can never hurt Buddha nature, because it is beyond harm. But we do violence to ourselves. We can do violence to ourselves and violate our own peace when we do not cultivate right thought. When we do something that we sense or know is not right, that is the hint that we are doing something that is not in harmony or not in harmony with our own Buddha nature. Good and bad come and go. They are conditioned by time, by culture, by outlook, by education. But our relationship with Buddha nature is not conditioned by those things. Your relationship with your own Buddha nature is something that is permanent and lasting. Do not do harm to it out of ignorance, disregard, or violation. The natural cultivation of right thought is not something that is exotic or complicated. It comes from meditation practice and the simple keeping of the precepts. Daily training in these, the willingness to keep going, to have faith, is what changes the direction of karma from the selfish to the selfless. Just sit still. Allow your breath to circulate freely within your own body. As you do, the light of the Buddha circulates within you. You no longer clutch at thought and feeling. You no longer push it away. This interrupts the circulation of the light. What needs to arise will arise. Have faith in that. You don't have to go excavating. Just sit still. What arises, look at, acknowledge it, yes, and let it go. Allow it to pass on. Do not be concerned about the content of thought and feeling. Do not perpetuate it. Allow it to come. Allow it to go. Sit still within the unborn. This is the beginning of right thought. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.